is episode 201, recorded March 24th, 2014.
Yeah, we made it. We're still alive after episode 200. I thought we were going to disappear in a puff of
ichthyology. It was a pretty wild after party.
Yeah. So, thanks again to everybody who sent in their greetings. In fact, we've got a couple in this episode that came in a bit late. We weren't able to get them in, or I missed them or something. But anyway, there's a couple written ones. And let's see who we've got lined up for today, shall we?
We have Adam in Melbourne, Australia. And Hardev Desi from Facebook. Le Shrimp from YouTube. Yeah. He probably doesn't say it that way. He just says Le Shrimp.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mick in Carnforth.
The one and only Carnforth.
The one and only Carnforth, UK.
Yes.
Yes. And Bloodhound122 from YouTube, Ryan from Arizona, Anthony from Monmouth, Oregon, and Matt in Perth, Australia.
Indeed. Quite a lineup today. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So who do we have first? We have Hardev Desi. Uh-huh. And he says, I'm a little late, but happy 200th episode. It's always great to hear your informative show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think he's somewhere in Britain, but I can't remember where because I looked it up. But I don't remember now, but it was from Facebook comment, so
okay.
There you go. Thank you.
I just pushed the wrong button.
Welcome to the show. There you go. Now you're back.
Okay, Adam in Melbourne also wrote in on Facebook, and he says, just thought I would share some images of my setup. Still cycling. Happy 200th.
Okay, let me pull this up. It's a cool
thing.
So we'll
thing. Put up I've got pictures.
Yeah, we're going to put up the pictures on Facebook. Oh, is it not going to work? Maybe it's going to work. I'm going to show you. He's got a cool marine setup he's working on. Looks like it's going to be a reef tank. But since it's still cycling, you know, it doesn't have anybody in there yet. But it will.
Does he say what he wants to put in?
He hasn't said that yet, but it's cool. I mean, he's got the whole setup under the cabinet, the drilled thing, and he's got refugium under there.
Explain me again what a refugium is.
Well, basically it's a tank that's separate from the main tank where critters can live and where you can do certain types of filtration and stuff.
Okay.
But it's a separate tank that's plumbed into the main tank, but it's kind of like a safe house for little creatures to live and for certain biological activities to go on that might not be able to go on in the tank. So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it looks very fancy.
Yeah, I really like the setup. See, there's the refugium right there.
So we will put those up so everybody can see them.
We'll put the link to this page so everybody can look at it. Mm-hmm. And so welcome to the show, too.
Sending those in.
I think that's the first time that Adam has contributed to the show.
I think so.
So welcome, as an Aquariumaxer, to you and to Hardev. They're both new. Oh, that's just going to pop up in a moment. Sorry, it's a bit slow.
My notes ran away.
I know, it's because that
app. Which makes so much sense when you guys are just listening to this.
That's okay. They know what you mean. Oh, okay, there. We're good. We're back.
Okay, so we have a comment from YouTube from Le Shrimp on the fruit fly video.
That I released a few days ago, I guess.
And he says, I never thought of feeding these to fish. Are they nutritious?
Well, depends on who you talk to. There are more than one school of thought on that.
Are there people who think they're junk food for fish?
Some people have said fruit flies are basically, you know, like dart frog breeders and stuff. Uh-huh. Have said to me, fruit flies are basically something to put supplements on.
So they don't think they have any kind of nutritional value?
Well, I think they're exaggerating.
Are they just empty carbs? Are there dart frogs feeling pudgy? Are they going on a low carb diet?
Well, the thing is, I think they do have nutrients. I mean, they obviously do have nutrients in them. I think
they're bugs. They ought to have some protein.
More nutritious than people give them credit for. But of course, you don't want to give frogs or fish just one thing.
No.
But they have nutrients in them, yeah. And depending on what you feed them, I mean, that's carried through. You know, gut loading. If you give them a high nutrient medium, they're going to carry that onto the fish. So yeah, I see that fish and frogs that to whom they are fed or to which they are fed, I guess I should say, tend to respond really well in terms of coloration and activity, and it gets a lot of fish into breeding condition. So obviously they've got some good things in them.
What was it when you started feeding the fruit flies to the gold barbs?
They all colored up like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wham! The males all went into breeding colors. And when I fed fruit flies to African dwarf frogs, now that was a few years ago, but when I gave them regular meals of that, they spawned and hatched tadpoles.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that for me ever before or since. I haven't given the fruit flies.
But you did that time, and then they did.
But yeah, for like a month, I gave them fruit flies. A month or two, I gave them fruit flies almost like maybe three times a week, and they spawned. So I would say so.
So they gotta have something good in there.
I don't have a sheet that details their nutrients, but yeah, there are nutrients in there.
How would you even determine what's in nutrients?
It can be done, but you have to, just like people analyze food, you know, they go through and get a chemical analysis of what's in it. It's,
They're just so little. How do you get a chemical analysis of something that little?
Well, it's easy to get hundreds and hundreds of fruit flies. It's not that hard.
I guess so.
Yeah.
He also has another comment. He says, not to be annoying or advertising or anything, but I'd appreciate if you guys check out aquaforums.net. It's a forum I started all about fish keeping. It's got some unique features like awards that other fish keeping forums don't have. It even has a category where you can promote your videos, and I will be adding a topic on culturing flies to the live foods culture topic.
Cool.
So, I don't know. Have you looked at that yet?
I haven't yet. I want to. I haven't had a chance yet. But you can check it out, aquaforums.net, and see what you think.
See how it is.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yes.
Shrimpy One. I don't know your real name, indeed. I'm sorry.
But as far as we know, this is also a new contributor to Gourmet, so welcome.
Several of those today, which is great. Our next one is Bloodhound122. That's his YouTube name, I guess. Because it's another YouTube comment. Also on the fruit fly video. He says, great video. Love the step-by-step. Also, I have hangouts but couldn't figure out how to let you know I wanted to participate. By the way, great show. I've been listening for about 2 years now. Keep up the great works. Or great shows. So, thank you again for the Google Hangout.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay. First of all, on Google Plus, you need to add us into your circles. Aquarimax. Just find us under Aquarimax. The Aquarimax logo will be there. There are two of them on there, and I don't know what the other one is, but it's the one you want to add. There are two Aquarimaxes on Google Plus. The one you want to add is the one that has the Aquarimax logo. The other one does not. And once you have done that, you will be able to participate April 12th, right? You just try to join the hangout. You can do that, but you should email me first also. You can email info@aquarimax.com or just go to the contact page on aquarimax.com and send us information saying, we would like to participate. Here's a question or two we're thinking about that you'd like to ask on the show. And yeah, there you go.
Hopefully that helps.
Yes, indeed. It's a good refresher for others as well. April 12th.
April 12th.
Yeah, we're going to do 7:30 our time. So that's mountain time, whether it's standard or daylight, I can never keep track of anymore.
Whatever
but
time we're on right
time,
now.
Mountain time, U.S. mountain time.
Okay, we have something for Mick. This is kind of exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's really exciting.
This is Mick in the one and only Carnforth.
Yes, and he sent a lovely picture.
But this is really cool.
Yes, he says, I mentioned a few weeks back that I was working on a top secret project. I can now reveal, as an Aquarimax exclusive newsbreak. Do we have exclusive newsbreak music? I need to come up with some exclusive newsbreak music.
How about...
That's good. Okay. Aquarimax exclusive newsbreak that as of Saturday, the 29th of March, I will be opening my own shop. It is called Fangs and Fins, and that's an awesome name.
It is an awesome name.
It is called Fangs and Fins, and although not in the one and only Carnforth, it is just up the road in Kendall, home of the mint cake. What's mint cake? That sounds yummy. I love mint.
I knew you were going to say that.
Send me some mint cake, comic.
All the way from Kendall.
And, I guess it might get a little stale. Send me a recipe. How about
there
that?
Go. That's okay. Better.
I have enclosed a picture of the window graphics, which went on this weekend, and anyone who mentions Aquarimax will receive 10% off any purchase.
That is very cool.
That's very cool.
So
you guys have to see the picture. It looks so awesome. I would have got a Mick shop.
I know. Next time we're in Carnforth. It's very cool. It's got the graphic. It's like it's a shark, isn't it? No, it's not. Well, it is a shark kind of shape because it's the shark and then you've got
the
fish.
But the words are part of the... No, it's no, look, this
well,
is
I know.
A
this, the front of it
head.
Is a snake head and then the back of it is a fish. But if you look at it like this, it looks like a shark. See what I'm saying?
I guess so, it does. And then in the bottom, there's the bottom of the window, there's water and on the top, there's like vines and leaves. So
yeah, it's a very cool graphic. Yeah. I like it. Anyway, how cool is that? You have a store where you sell reptiles and fish?
I know, that's pretty awesome.
And I'm guessing a few inverts will be there.
So we need to put the picture up. And everybody needs to go like the Facebook page for Fangs and Fins for Mick. And spread it around. Especially you other UK listeners.
And UK listeners. Mm-hmm. If you're anywhere near Carnforth, I know there are some of you in the UK that are not very close to Carnforth, and it would take a long time for you to get there. But for those of you who are near Carnforth, you should go.
Or if you're going to be near
Carnforth. Or if you're going to be near Carnforth, you should go.
Even if you're not, you should still go. Britain's not that big. No offense.
Oh, yeah, if you can make it, you should go. It's awesome. And you get a 10% discount just by saying you listen to the show. So. Hey.
Oh, and he had another idea, too, which I think is cool. When we do the Google Hangout in a few weeks, he says that maybe we could do a web tour of the shop.
That would be totally awesome. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not we do it on this Hangout, which we could, and that would be awesome. But if we don't manage to do it on this Hangout,
we could do
a dedicated Hangout.
That would be neat.
Just for the Fangs and Fins web tour.
Fangs and Fins feature.
Yeah.
Do I get the award today?
The alliteration award?
I don't know. Maybe it was only three. Maybe I need to do better.
The fantastic Fangs and Fins feature.
Oh, that's good.
Feature film festival.
Okay. Okay. So you need to go to Fangs and Fins on Facebook. There's another one.
Yeah.
And like it.
Hey, you know what? We need to do that. I haven't even done that yet. I wanted to.
Well, we haven't gotten on Facebook yet.
We will do it.
Congratulations, Mick. I think that's super exciting.
That is super exciting. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that.
I know. Hire Russ.
That would be my dream job. That'd be so fun. I'd love it.
We'll move to the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been wanting to do that since I was a kid.
I know.
I have plans probably still somewhere.
From when you were a kid of my the floor cousin plan and I for were your pet store?
Planning. We had floor plans of everything in the pet store, different rooms and what they were going to be dedicated to. And we had an education room where you could watch videos on stuff. It was all set up. It was awesome. My cousin and I, and we still hang out, and he helps me with the website.
He's a computer programmer now. Yeah,
and he keeps fish.
Plus you do puppets together, which is a totally different project.
But that's true. We happen to do that. But he has a marine aquarium and a freshwater aquarium and a brackish aquarium. So we're still on it. And just, you know, someday when we're like 67, we'll get our pet store.
Okay. When you retire. Okay. Let's go to Ryan in Arizona. And he says, hello and congratulations on your 200th episode. Thank you very much. At the end of the segment where you were answering Tony's questions on Malaysian trumpet snails, you asked for input from other aquariumaxers who have kept dwarf puffers with trumpet snails. You didn't, however, specify which kind of dwarf puffer, as there are two species found in the hobby, the South American dwarf puffer and the Indian dwarf puffer.
I should have done that. Sorry, that was a bit of an oversight of my part, wasn't it?
Mm.
I don't know much about the South American dwarf puffer. I've only kept the Indian dwarf puffer. So,
okay. Is that what Oryk?
To clarify, yes, Oryk and all the rest of them were Indian dwarf puffers, yes.
He says, I've had 5 Indian dwarf puffers with Malaysian trumpet snails in a 20 long for about a year now and can say that their teeth are still perfectly healthy.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's good to know. This is because they don't crush the snail's shells like other puffers, but wait for the snail to expose itself, then bite at the exposed flesh. Oh, see, they're smart.
Yeah, and I had noticed when I fed mine that they did that with pond snails and with ram's horn snails. Except for the really tiny small ones. If they were little babies, sometimes they crush the snails. But other than that, they would do that. So I should have thought of that.
So it's not just with the Malaysian ones. It's just with whatever snail. They just wait till they stick their heads out and then they bite their heads off.
So that totally makes sense. So good point, Ryan.
Vicious predators.
Yeah. In action.
In action. You know what? We should film it and put Jaws music over it. That would be awesome. Yeah. Okay. While there are always plenty of empty shells in the tank, the snails aren't in any danger of being exterminated, mainly because most of them stay hidden while the lights are on. Indian dwarf puffers and Malaysian trumpet snails seem to be a very good combination from what I've experienced. The puffers stay fat and happy, and the snails stay under control.
Hmm. Well, there you go. So, Tony, if you do have a foray into the Malaysian trumpet snail world, you know you can happily add a puffer or two and still be okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
so it's good.
That works.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Very nice information.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I kept both, but I never tried them together. And now we know that Ryan has done so successfully for a period of time, about a year. So it's pretty reasonable.
And he hasn't had to go to the fishy dentist yet,
right?
I don't think they have fishy dentists, so it's a good thing he hasn't had to go.
They do have dentists that will do dental work on pufferfish.
No, they don't.
Yes.
You are so full of crap.
No, really. They do.
The whole family dentist you can bring the fish in too, huh?
No, not like a dentist. Human dentist. Like a veterinarian who will do dental work on puffers.
How do you do that?
Well, some puffers are huge. Some puffers are big enough to take your finger off. Do
they put braces on their teeth?
No, they just clip their teeth because their teeth are always growing like a rabbit, you know? Rabbits get malocclusions and they need to be clipped and same thing.
Well, how do they make them be clipped in the wild? They just chew on rocks?
What do they do? They chew on crunchy things like mussels and clams and
but not snail shells?
And lobsters and wherever they live. And snail shells, yeah.
But not these puffers, not the
dwarf puffers are a little bit different than some of the others, so that's... Yeah, I think you want to click that button.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to Anthony next, and apparently I have been committing a grievous error for which I apologize profusely.
Because Anthony is actually from?
Monmouth.
Yeah, not the other thing you said.
Monmouth.
Don't say it anymore.
Despite that is how it is spelled.
Well, nothing sounds like it's spelled in English.
That's true.
It's an orthographically...
Sorry, I just had to add a correction that keeps driving me nuts. Kelly, my town that I'm from isn't pronounced Monmouth, but Monmeth. Sorry, thanks again for all the help. I hope they don't make meth.
No. It has nothing to do with that.
And would I be like a French meth producer? Monmeth!
Whoa, you're scaring me now.
Okay, you can cut that out then if you want.
I'm not going to cut anything out.
Okay. I'm just going to get myself in more trouble.
Yeah, you're going to get yourself
hand
in
me
more
the shovel,
trouble.
I'll dig a little deeper.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Anthony. I will pronounce it correctly now.
Okay. Now, I've got a question for you, Anthony. Is it the first syllable, isn't it? The first syllable that's stressed? So you say...
Monmouth?
Monmouth?
Or Monmouth?
I think it's Monmouth.
Seems like it would be Monmouth.
Monmouth. Monmouth. I think so.
Maybe we should change it to
so
Mammoth.
So let us know if we have improved the pronunciation there of that.
Okay.
I hope so.
Did Anthony write in last time? Is that the last time I said it? Did
he brought it up? I don't think it was last time, no. It's some time ago.
Okay.
But he's written in on numerous occasions.
So my most humble apologies for butchering the name of your hometown. And if I'm saying anything else wrong, guys, tell me. Okay, and last but certainly not least, we have Matt.
Wait, we haven't finished with Anthony. This is Anthony's too. It's
I didn't know that because it was right above Matt's
picture. There was a page
and you
break.
Put Matt's name right there, which is under the message because it's above Matt's picture.
Right, it's kind of tricky. I'm getting used to this format. It's a new format.
I'm such an awesome secretary.
There was just a page break there and it kind of messed it up. Sorry.
Okay. So this is still from Anthony.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh wow, he just wrote in just to tell me that.
No.
Must really be bugging him.
No, actually, this was a postscript to that, but I just...
Oh, okay.
I pasted him in the wrong order or whatever.
Okay. So his message actually started, good day, Russ and Kelly, congrats on your 200. Thank you. Since last chatted with my jeweled cichlids... Oh, since we last chatted...
My jeweled cichlids, an electric blue cichlid.
Has died. All of them have died?
Yes.
It has died, like, singular.
But he probably added in the other later or
something. Okay. I only had them for about 6 months, and I believe they were ill before I bought them. I believe this was due to the fact the store owner's cichlid tank crashed. He wouldn't talk about why he thought this and became very shady about it, so no more business for me. My Chinese algae eaters fared just fine through all this, so I think my tank is safe, and it was just the fish that were the issue. So, since then, I've decided to go with guppies. I want color and a community tank, so guppies it is. What other colorful fish would be well suited with the guppies?
Okay, well, let's see where we can go with this. One thing that I just, in the back of my mind, something's tickling there and saying, ooh, long-term illness. Ooh.
Over 6 months?
Yeah, that's a really long-term illness. I'm wondering, hopefully it's not the dreaded...
nastiness.
Mycobacterium.
Yeah.
I hope not.
That is kind of a long time.
What were the symptoms of your fish? I'm curious about that. That would be interesting to find out. But let's assume for the moment that that's not an issue. I'm not saying it isn't an issue, but just let's assume it isn't for the moment. But hopefully you can get back to us and let us know about your symptom set that you noticed with the cichlids, and we can see what's going on. But say you're going to go with guppies. So one consideration is that guppies can be very beautiful fish, And the fancier you get with guppies, they take a hit in terms of hardiness, although there are some hardier strains out there these days, and that's good. But one thing to think about is if you put, and you probably already thought of this, but if you put, say, two varieties or six varieties of guppies in your community tank, and you put any females in there, you're going to get some weird-looking babies. So,
because all the fancy varieties will mix up?
Yes, they will.
So it'll be like a toddler with finger paints.
I did that when I was a kid. I did it intentionally because I wanted to see what would happen. And I did get a few really interesting pretty fish out of it. But I took common guppies and crossed them with fancy guppies.
And what happened?
And most of the babies...
Is that where you got the leopard spots? You had those one with leopard spot patches. It was really cool.
Maybe. I'm trying to remember. But because I had some descendants of those guppies still.
When we got married. When we got
married. But the fancy ones, let's see, 90 or more percent of the guppies that I got out of that for a couple of generations looked really bad. They just did. They looked awful.
Muddy, patchy.
Yeah. They'd
like get, none of the colors looked good.
They'd get weird colors or their tails were half developed. Like they'd be all uneven, asymmetrical tails and got some weird stuff. And I got some really, really cool ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're only like 10% or fewer.
And then what do you do with the rest
cool,
of them?
And I still had
ugly fish.
All these other fish. But anyway, the same thing will happen essentially when you cross... fancy strains with fancy strains, you'll get probably a few fish that look cool, but most of them will look really weird. There are a couple of ways to deal with that, and some people do it quite successfully. One of them is to just keep one strain, which is, I think, what Robert in Georgia does.
One strain of the fancy guppy?
Yeah, that's my recollection. He keeps one strain, and so all his fish look, you know, they're all of that strain, so they don't look weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does with his guppies. And other, several people, including a guy I knew in Hawaii who ran most of the aquatic stuff at Honolulu Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
He had this big pond. I don't know if you remember it, but it was really cool. It was this long recirculating pond in the zoo. You may not remember because you weren't there as often as I was.
The little stream?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember the stream.
Remember the recirculating stream? That was full of guppies, but he only put males in there.
Don't they get kind of frustrated?
Probably, which is a good point, but...
I don't know. Then you're going to look at your tank and you're just going to see all this angst.
they might, but it looked cool. I mean, it was a beautiful pool and it was full of all these male guppies and of all different color varieties, but they didn't look dumb because they were all of different strains, but they weren't mixing.
Make any mixes.
Yes. So there's a couple of ways you can deal with it. And another one is to just get... more wild type strains, which are like very variable, guppies. Like common guppies, or you could get endlers instead of guppies, which are very closely related, cool. And you could get get a strain of endlers, and they would do the same. They're a lot like guppies, but they're a little more brilliant, but they're also more wild type in terms of finnage and stuff. And if you get one strain and keep it in
really
there,
bright colors.
They're very bright colors, and if you keep one strain in there, you'll get. You know, they're less variable in terms of their coloration, too. So once you get one strain, they all look like the same strain. So it's kind of the similar solution to getting one strain of guppies. But those are some possibilities.
As far as the actual guppies are concerned.
Right. And thinking about guppies, a couple of things. Look into trying to get some hardy strains, at least, as much as you can. Because a lot of the fancy guppies that are bred these days are fairly weak. Not all of them. But some of them are fairly weak and susceptible to various diseases and are often bred, my understanding at least, is that they are bred in very specific conditions, high salinity in their water, so they are in nearly full strength seawater.
Wow.
And they are fed only live food, a lot of them. So then you get them into
fresh water,
fresh tap water,
food.
And flake food and things like that, and they just don't do as well. So there's that to think about. They also like fairly hard water, and the little, you know, brackish water doesn't bother them at all. It's actually good for them. They are happy in it. But in terms of tank mates, it's often good to think of fish that can handle situations like that. And most live bearers do fairly well.
Mollies are okay like with that. Brackish water.
Oh, yeah. Mollies can be full strength right? salt water, too, without a out of blink. They're perfectly happy.
And I don't know if you...
I mean, you need to acclimate them, but they're happy in it.
I mean, he says colorful fish. I don't know if he's counting mollies. I think mollies are gorgeous. I mean, you could get the black or the white.
Oh, and there are other colors, too. I don't like the Dalmatian
so much. But they have... Don't they have, like, gold ones?
They have gold dust mollies. They have various color varieties. They have the sail fins. Those are colorful. I would
say. Yeah, I like the sail fins as much. I know you don't. They feel fat.
But they're colorful, though.
Yes, they are colorful. That's true. He might like them because they get, like, that reddish orange.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got... I think some of the gold dust mollies and different crosses, they have different colors. So there's lots of mollies that might work. Of course, a little bigger than guppies. Any of the swordtails and platies work well with guppies, too. I don't know that they're so much as brackish, but they still do well in hard water, and they'd probably be fine with a little brackish water. If you don't, it kind of depends on your water conditions, because guppies are fairly adaptable and can adapt to lower, you know, hardnesses and so on in the water. It's not that, like, they can't. Mm-hmm. So you could look into that if you're not keeping your water with salinity in it of any appreciable degree. You can look into a lot of other fish. I mean, there's a lot of corys that'll do well that don't like salt, so you wouldn't want to do a brackish tank with them. But if you just have a normal tank with, say, with some hardness in it, moderate hardness, it wouldn't bug them.
Do gold barbs be okay with guppies? I'm just looking at ours going, those are pretty.
They are pretty. Gold barbs are not terribly aggressive. They're not like tiger barbs.
So they might...
They'd probably be fine. And they like about water conditions. The water conditions would suit them fine, the same as guppies. I mean, I don't know about brackish. I'm not putting any salt in with them. I don't really know what
they do. But if you didn't have the guppies in brackish water...
Yeah, if you just had them in normal tap water with a little hardness in it, then they'd be fine. They're not aggressive. You just keep a group of them in there with them. That would be a possibility to think about. Of course,
I'm enjoying them. They're really pretty.
They are really pretty fish. You wouldn't get as many babies if you kept them with gold barbs.
What about if you had mollies or platies?
And mollies will often leave their own babies alone if they're well fed. And, you know, if you keep guppies, just guppies, mollies, and platies, and you feed them well, they always have something to nibble on. You'll probably get young of all of those species surviving. Not all of them. Some of them will get eaten, but some of them would probably survive. There are really a lot of possibilities. Things that are colorful to keep with guppies. Of course, nothing too big if you want any of the babies to survive. Right. And that is another possibility, too. If you just want to keep a bunch of guppies in a community tank and you don't want any babies to survive, you can keep them with something that'll eat the babies. That works. It might be kind of sad.
Put an African dwarf frog in there.
And that would eat some of the guppy babies. It probably wouldn't get them all, though. But it would get some of them. It might not actually... You'd have to hand feed it, though, to supplement. Because it probably wouldn't get enough food just by baby guppies.
That's true.
But, I'm kind of drawing a blank here other than those things we've already mentioned. Not that there aren't a lot of possibilities, because...
We can contemplate it during the rest of the week, since we kind of just got this one. And then if you have more to say next week, you can say more. Right,
and if any of you have suggestions, aquarium extras out there for him. Oh, and here's Matt in Perth.
Yes, this is our last one.
So hopefully, Anthony, that gives you some ideas. And the other aquarium extras can chime in with theirs.
And Matt has finished his beautiful tank stand.
Yeah.
The hood that he's been constructing.
And which he showed on the live hangout show. But it wasn't done yet. And now it is.
He sent a picture of it, so we'll put that up. It looks really nice.
It looks really awesome, actually. I love what he's done with it.
I like that it's the canopy. Got cupboards up on the top, too.
Yes.
Which plenty are, storage space.
Well, I don't know if those are going to be used. I imagine mostly that's lights. Oh, well,
it probably just opens.
But it helps you service the lights, and it helps you feed the fish and everything without having to take the whole canopy off, so...
That looks good.
Service the tank, change water, all that kind of stuff by opening that. So that's nice. That's really nice. I love how it looks. Excellent really job, good. Matt. I know that's been a long time in the making, but it looks like it was worth the wait. So everybody check that out on the show page. Looks very cool.
So I think that's everything for this week.
I think that's been a good show today. So ladies and gentlemen, until next time...
May the fish
be with you.